Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
I'm Mel Beattie and I am the Chair of Trustees for Preferred Futures.
I'm Mark Hythe, I'm one of the volunteers for Preferred Futures.
So basically, you know, I've got a passion for charity. You know, I already do a bit of charity work and Mark and I were introduced to each other a few years back, I think it was 2021, and we got chatting about mental health provision on the island and how we felt like we could make a difference in that space. You know, I kind of formed a board of trustees who are actually friends of mine, also with a passion for mental health. And that was kind of how we formulated pulling the charity together. And it's taken a few years to, you know, consolidate those thoughts and think about how we could drive it forwards. And obviously talking to Mark, who is the professional in that space, you know, what he believes would be beneficial for the island. And here we are today.
So, Mark, then tell me a little bit about your background.
I'm a mental health nurse and a person-centred counsellor. I've been working in mental health since I was about 21. Worked in the UK in inpatient psychiatry settings, in a CAMHS unit in Kent. And I've lectured in four different universities around the country. And now I've been working here for about 11 years for Manx Care.
So it's safe to say you've got a fair bit of experience in this field.
Got some, yeah.
So from your perspective then, what do you think are some of the key things that can really help alleviate some of the pressures on mental health services, particularly here on the Isle of Man at the moment?
From everything we've talked about and also based on some key legislation and policy from leading organisations in the UK, particularly the NHS plan 2019, long-term plan, I think we need to look slightly out of the box and do things differently, and that we probably need different services in conjunction with standard statutory services. So it's not a case of doing more, it's doing something different. And that would be working around one of our key aims, which is to create what's called a recovery cafe. And that means normalising, allowing people to come to a space up to 7 days a week, which would be our long-term aim, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So getting people out of accommodation into a more public space so they can support each other through peer-to-peer support and also for some professional engagement as well, rather than ending up in mental health services because they're so isolated.
Because how important is that to mental health recovery and resilience?
Entirely so, I think. Mm-hmm. If you think about, you know, an affected service, a person might get to see a worker one day a week, you know, for an hour, which is really important to discuss difficult things. But what do we do with the rest of the week? And these services, that change in mindset around services has been seen to be much more effective for treatment, but also much more cost effective, because we could be working with, say, 50, 60 people a day or more.
And Melanie, something that you mentioned off air was the idea that sometimes mental health can decline with certain medical conditions and things like that. So actually creating support groups for people to be able to have conversations with each other about those sort of things might actually help alleviate those extra strains.
Yeah, I think we identified quite early on that, you know, some people end up needing mental health care due to physical conditions and maybe diagnoses, you know, things that are going on for them. And actually, if there was a forum or somewhere they could go to discuss openly how they feel, you know, away from family members, you know, in a more private setting, and also with people who are experiencing similar or the same, there's nothing more valuable in that. And we talked about that sense of community and feeling like you're not alone. That was kind of a key way that we thought we could do that through, you know, opening up support groups. We would have mental health professionals there to help, you know, coordinate that and guide those conversations. But essentially the care comes from within. It comes from, you know, peer to peer.
So that's quite a different message as well, isn't it? Saying you're not alone and we're going to try and help people to create their own groups to support each other from you've got a mental health problem.
Yeah, it's a positive way, yeah. Isn't it? And, you know, coming back to the idea of the recovery cafe, we identified, you know, the from kind of feeling like you might be, you know, struggling or something's going on in your world to being on a waiting list or to being in crisis, there's nothing in between. So those days when you are really struggling, and we would, you know, we're aiming to have that group that you can go to and get that care in the moment when you need it, rather than ending up in a worse position as well. So again, that wider support.
So as you mentioned, it's taken a couple of years to get the charity to this stage. So what is next for you? What are you hoping to be able to achieve within the next 12 months, say?
So I think aim number one is fundraising. So we've kind of identified that as a new, you know, a new charity starting up, and especially within the mental health space where there may be other charities, sometimes there's an automatic comparison made, and we've struggled to secure, you know, funding via, you know, other avenues. So we're on a fundraising mission, aren't we?
Yep.
The reality is one support group would cost us £40 to £50 just for the hire of a venue. And, you know, the every £50 we can raise is that one support group that we can essentially put together. So we're on a fundraising crusade. Also, you know, thank you for inviting us along. We are, you know, trying to get the name out there. You know, we've got the Facebook page launch, which is Preferred Futures IOM. And just trying to, you know, start organically.
How will people be able to get involved and to potentially access some of the services that you're hoping to provide?
So they will be advertised via the Facebook page. So, you know, once we've got those up and running, Mark and his colleague Damien have already looked at a support group for bereavement by suicide. That's something that's already available. You know, inflammatory bowel diseases is the next one that we would be looking to put out there. So as soon as we've got, you know, dates and when they'll be on that Facebook page for people to view, and hopefully the Recovery Cafe as well will be next.
So we've run pilots for both of those groups that Mel's talked about, people bereaved by suicide and people with IBS, Crohn's disease and related conditions. Both are well received. One of the key aims, I think, for any group setting up is to make those services sustainable. So those are run deliberately as pilots, with everyone aware of that. But the idea being then, if we then put on a group, it's not something that's going to be finished in 6 months or a couple of years. This is something that becomes useful and usable until we don't need it anymore.
And I suppose this is a slightly broad question, so forgive me, but you could argue the decline of mental health, not just here on the Isle of Man, but generally. What do you think are some of the main causes for that, in terms of why we see so many mental health issues now and why it is as big an issue as it is and there is such a demand for
it? It's a double-edged sword, isn't it, in terms of it's great that people are more willing to talk about it and we see it more, but also I think the lack of communication between people, a lot of people in digital space rather than face-to-face, people doing different style of work as well. They might be at a desk using a computer a lot, or isolated, when in the old days people were together, working together more physically.
And it's just that human contact.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. It's community, yeah, isn't it? So, I think there's a bit of a difference in the approach we're going to take to a lot of organisations, in that one of our key ideas is not for us to say what groups we think are good for the community. It's for the community to say what's good for them, which is why we would look to support anybody with a viable plan around development of a group that's sustainable and that we can raise funds for and provide.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, a key message that I thought about, you know, quite early on was also the, you know, some people have said, oh, we've already got mental health charities on the Isle of Man. And, you know, we certainly wanted to make it clear that, you know, this is a complementary service. This is something slightly different in, you know, the mental health professionals we've got volunteering for the charity deal with maybe the harder end of mental health conditions. And we see it as being another added benefit in that space on the Isle of Man, you know. So, yeah, hopefully it'll just be, and you know, another string to the bow as far as mental health care on the island.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.